Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 25 through 28. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Back in 1956, a movie came out that was labeled as the greatest event in motion picture history, according to its own advertising. And it starred Charlton Heston as Moses, the Ten Commandments. And he, the actor at the time, was 33 years old. He was in the prime of his career, kind of a Jason Momoa of his day. And despite the fake white beard that they had on him and the white coloring in his hair, Charlton Heston was a very strong, very masculine type leader. And he created an image of who Moses would be in people's minds for generations. And a lot of people that are my age think about, when they think about Moses, think about Charlton Heston in this movie. But the book of Numbers says this about him. Think about how different this sounds from what we imagine with that. Moses was very meek, more than all people on the face of the earth. Moses was very meek, more than all people on the face of the earth. I remember when I was in seminary, one of our Old Testament professors one day drew parallels between Moses and Christ, between Moses and Jesus. And I just wrote down some of them. I'll just read through some of them. They were both divinely rescued at birth from the plans of a murderous evil king. They both stood before earth's most powerful rulers on behalf of God's kingdom. They were both used by God in a miraculous way to provide food for multitudes. Moses had 12 tribes. Jesus had 12 disciples who served God's people under his leadership. Having observed God's glory, each one, his face was radiant with light. Think about Moses coming from Sinai and Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Each, Moses and Jesus, each were equipped with 70 helpers to carry out the work of serving the people. Each was discredited and rejected by many of his own people. Each made intercessory prayers for the people. Each were willing to be punished and separated from God for the sins of others. And each miraculously reappeared to the faithful after he had died. Moses at the Transfiguration and our Lord Jesus on Easter. It's interesting, isn't it? All the parallels between Moses and Jesus. Now, Moses certainly was a flawed human being. We see that displayed in the scripture as well. He needed that Savior. And yet God will at times have certain individuals serve as a sort of a foreshadowing of the work of Christ, as kind of a type, if you will, of the coming Christ, even though Moses is clearly a true figure in history, just as our Lord Jesus is as well. The text in front of us talks about how Moses was willing, by faith, to side with God's people, a band of fugitive slaves that were escaping the country. And he knew that this would mean great hardship for himself. Just try to imagine some of the things from Moses' perspective. Having grown up in the palace of Egypt with all the luxuries and all the education and everything that he could have enjoyed there. But now leading the exodus of God's people, possibly as many as 1 million people or more, out into the desert, a wasteland. Having to serve now as the head of government, He was really the judicial system and all the burden and weight that put upon him. We know that there were a lot of people grumbling in their marriages because Moses started to write certificates of divorce, which is not what God had wanted. We're told by Jesus in the New Testament that Moses, it's almost as if he got so sick of the fact that people's marriages were struggling so badly. He had to deal with grumbling people, people that wanted to go back to Egypt, even into slavery. God, he even said to God at one point, "The burden is too heavy for me. I can't take this." He had to deal with opposition to his leadership from right inside of his family. Miriam and Aaron both oppose him, rise up to oppose him. He had to deal with the fact that all these people were getting so angry with God and were willing to even go back and worship false gods that they'd learned about in Egypt. And then on top of that, he had to deal with the threats from all the neighboring nations they would pass through. Not just the Egyptians they were leaving, but all these other little tribes that they would run into, and attacks on every side. When you think about the life of Moses and the challenges that he had to face, and probably at least some of this he was well aware of when he united himself with that Israel band to lead Egypt. So for us today, when we side with the band of God's followers and those who believe in his word and in the coming Savior that's already come for us, when we are willing to put ourselves in the band of his church, it often means hardship for us. It often means difficulty. It might mean some ridicule. It might mean some mockery. It might mean that we have to face greater hardship in life than it would mean without having to unite ourselves with Christ and his followers. But just like Moses, by faith, we see beyond all of this, and we find security in the gathering of God's people. We find a special treasure there to be with them and to be among them. Moses' reason for being willing to unite himself with the children of Israel is because it really all had to do with Christ. It really all had to do with this coming Savior. Rather than bowing down and serving a pagan monarch that would have probably set him up pretty well for this life, he was trusting in an invisible monarch that he could not yet see, who was far, far greater than any earthly monarch like the Pharaoh, and could give him eternal heavenly riches. We're told that by faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, all of which, of course, was this beautiful imagery of what Christ, our Savior, would come to do, to, as the Lamb of God, be willing to be sacrificed. And his blood now, painted over the door of our hearts, protects us from the passing judgment of God, so that someday we can have the beautiful home and entrance into heaven. Moses saw something in all of that caused him to want to be with these slave people so despised by the world. So Moses here demonstrates a really deep appreciation and treasuring of God's church in the world. In the psalm we just read, we talk about rejoicing with Jerusalem. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." That's the same church today in 2025 that Moses wanted to be a part of back then. Sometimes it's a ragtag group of followers according to the world's perspective. Sometimes it appears to be full of its own problems, doesn't appear to have any land of its own. From the earth's perspective and world's perspective, it doesn't seem to give us any advantages. And yet, by faith, we know of the great blessings that there are in being part of God's gathering of believers. We are among those who look forward to the coming of the Messiah a second time. Have you ever thought about your life in terms of where it landed on a timeline? You know, why is it that you got to live now in the 2000 era rather than back in the 1800s or 1600s or 1400s? Why is it that whatever block of time of years of life that you get to live, why is it that they get to fall right now in this particular chronology of life? But one thing that's really beautiful to think about is the cohort of believers that you get to be with. And they're sitting right here with you today. And they're back in your home congregations. And throughout your life, cherish those people. Treasure what it means to be part of this band that is moving together toward the beautiful home of heaven. As our culture grows more and more ungodly and more anti-Christ, we need one another more than ever. And one thing I love about your generation that's a little different than mine is because the intensity against your faith has been ratcheted up more so than in my day, I think that's caused you to even band together and appreciate each other maybe more than my generation did. Appreciate that strong bond that the Holy Spirit creates in your heart to want to be with His church all the way till heaven. I love the passage here. It says about Moses, he kept in view the reward. Isn't that an awesome line? He kept in view the reward of staying with God's people. Paul Kretzmann comments this way. He says, Moses resolutely turned away from the glittering promises of Egypt. That's a great line. Turned away resolutely from the glittering promises of Egypt. You have the glittering promises of Egypt all around you in this culture. Turn away from them in faith and keep in mind the reward of staying in this wonderful band of God's children. And so let us travel together as they did by faith in the Lord, who ultimately will take us to the promised land that God has so faithfully promised to us. Amen.